across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, May 22nd, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, through social media, or by podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. What's Wisconsin's seventh largest city? It officially is Waukesha, but not anymore. We'll talk about a new estimate of population shifts around Wisconsin, among many other things. We had storms roll through the area last night through many parts of Wisconsin, tornadoes as well, some damage reported. Things were really bad in Iowa and other parts of the country as well. Coming up on the program today, Wednesday brings us our climate check. Melissa Baldoff will be here. And I think we're going to focus pretty much on just one topic related to climate. And that's Donald Trump's attempted shakedown of oil company executives, saying basically, you need to bribe me. You need to pay me $1 billion. Well, to my campaign, which of course won't at all go toward my legal fees. And then in return, if I get elected, I'm going to do all kinds of favors for you. So Melissa and I will get into that a little bit later. Then Melissa Kay joins us, as she does on Wednesday mornings, for our history lesson. We'll get the latest on the weather from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And then in our second hour, our homeroom segment talks about principles. We focus so much on teachers and students and policymakers, and we thought, here we're getting near the end of the school year. We need to show our appreciation, spread a little love for some of the people that support those who are in the classrooms. And so why not principals? You'll recall that Selena Heller, who joins us on Monday mornings, her little junior reporter, Emery, interviewed her elementary school principal recently, and we got some of the answers, and we thought we'd ask Ben Dahlman to come back and join us and answer a few more questions about life as a principal and the need for good educators at all levels to take part in Wisconsin's public school system. And Todd Alba will join us as well, what with it being Wednesday and all. Along the line, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can either call in or text in. If you have, you know, storm damage to report, maybe how much precipitation you got, we got an even 2.5 inches in the rain bucket here on Lake Wissota, and also a couple of trees down in the backyard. We have a lot of trees being right on the lake, and we're on a high, steep bank, and a couple of the older ones took a tumble last night. Was actually watching one of them as it happened, heard the big crack, and just watched it fold right in half. And but you know, we feel very fortunate otherwise. But yeah, if you want to report on anything that happened last night to you weather-wise, we'd be happy to hear about it. Or you can comment on social media, on Facebook or YouTube, where we allow you to see what we do through a live video stream. It's 56 right now in Lake Wissota, and frankly, a little muggy. I'm going to turn on the fan here, and I hope that it doesn't buzz too loud. Hayward's at 54, Park Falls 54, Wausau 57 right now. Green Bay 64, La Crosse reports 58 degrees, 57 in Rapids, 61 in Oshkosh, 59 in Madison, and 57 in Waukesha, formerly Wisconsin's seventh largest city, where we find the one and the only Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, how are you? And anything stormy down by you overnight?
No, not. First of all, eight's great, Pat. Eight's great. but also I was telling you earlier that I feel like we got spared. I spoke with Brittany Merlot yesterday because we were thinking about going for a walk at Petrified Springs, and I was like, I know there's storms coming, and then they announced a tornado watch, and I was like, well, we're done with that. That's not happening. But you know, last night it was pretty windy, and there was a little bit of rain that I can remember, and I woke up, it was windy this morning, but nothing really. The projection she sent me had like just huge storms and winds and essentially damage coming through Wisconsin. And then there's little slice of southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Racine, and Kenosha. Was just sort of like, yeah, you guys just hang out.
we were thinking about going to get some dinner last evening, and we got home. Sherry got home, I should say. We took one look at the radar. We looked at the sky, yeah. And we're like, yeah, it's a frozen pizza night.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, we switched brands, and we're very happy with our new brand. So, you know, when you've got a new favorite, you want to give it another go. We're looking for basically the mountain of cheese. If you could get a mountain of cheese on there, we'd appreciate that very much.
Well, that,
but then it has to cook very well.
So. I mean, that's the thing, is you get some more cheese, you throw that on yourself, you throw some extra toppings on there. I mean,
yep.
Yeah, I just think of the Tom never asks for a second cup of coffee at home. That's a very old reference, kids.
It Ask really your grandparents. Is, but I caught it and I liked it. Tell me more about this, where you were going to walk. Did you say Petrified Springs?
Yeah, it's a nice park in Kenosha County right by our house. It's beautiful. There's a golf course there. I think it's like a major golf course, actually. I have no idea, but there's just beautiful walking areas. It's a dog park. And, you know, my wife likes to take the dog there and just get her out and enjoy a nice walk. That story really petered out at the end.
But it's pretty. It's got some good trails.
Yeah, it's got great trails. I mean, oh my goodness. And it's like really, I don't know, like you can, even in the hot sun, you can walk there and it's warm, but like all the trees are like giving you nice shade and I really like it. And so we try to get down there as much as possible, which isn't as much as we'd like. But yeah, last night she's like, let's go for a walk. And I was like, all right. And I looked, I'm like, no.
We've got we've got the Old Abe Trail right near us, which is a former railroad corridor. And it, in some areas, you still have the canopy of trees.
Yeah.
Makes it so nice, you know, when you can get that occasionally so that you're not, you know, like baking on a sunny day when you're there. But did you know that Wisconsin is home to 44 state trails and 2 national scenic trails?
I did not know that.
That many of them are railroad corridors, like the first one, the Elroy-Sparta State Trail.
Elroy, that's Spanish for the Roy.
Well, it turns out in a bit of fortuitous promotional shamelessness, today's Up North News daily newsletter tells you more about these many trails in Wisconsin. You walked right into that one, Bach, didn't you? The Rails to Trails Conservancy has compiled a list of Wisconsin's 10 best trails to add to your bucket list. We have a link and more in today's newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com.
Do you think we'll ever get a national park?
Well, we've got the what is the Apostle Islands? It's and then we've got the Mississippi River, which is a national scenic waterway. There's another scenic waterway along Lake Michigan that actually Christina mentions in today's article. So we've got some national things, but in terms of a national park, probably not necessarily. We've got the. Like I said, the National Scenic Trails as well. So, I mean, to have a national park, you know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves that we've been to Yellowstone and other things. That's a big deal. Well, but to have these trails, like the Ice Age Trail, I think it's just an absolute wonder, you know, to have something like that in there.
According to this, I'm looking it up right now, nationalparkservice.gov. Go there, kids. Mm-hmm. It says that they became a national park in 1970, and I don't remember that. It's in Bayfield. I don't remember anyone ever. That's weird. I didn't think we had a national.
It's not a national park. It's a national lakeshore, and it is a designation that the ball got rolling on that with Gaylord Nelson and President John F. Kennedy and others. When President Kennedy took a trip up to northern Wisconsin and saw the beauty of it, and things got rolling to have it be a national lakeshore. I have toured it like with Senator Tammy Baldwin, where we got kind of the official tour of it many years ago. The sea caves. I always hear people talking about the sea caves and like walking out to the sea caves. No, thank you. I've seen them by boat in the summertime. That's how to do it. Not when I think I might go plunging through the ice. But we have so many beautiful things here, with or without the national recommendation. Because, I mean, look, you're not recognized as a national treasure. You probably should be, but you're a civic media treasure. We still appreciate you. You don't need the label.
That was the nicest thing anyone ever has said to me.
Well, that's fine, but you're
get on
you're
it, married, Bridget. So jeez.
Right.
Step up your compliment game.
The Milwaukee Brewers had their second of a three-game series in Miami, and I again thought, well, let me put it this way. I thought the Brewers were going to give it away, but I also wasn't really sure because I felt like every time I left from watching local TV covering the storm, and I'm like, okay, things are settling down. And then we go watch a little Brewer game, and suddenly it was like the wind would pick up and start howling in the rain. Like, okay, I better go back and watch the weather. Okay, now I'm going to go back and watch the Brewers for a bit. And once again, I go back and was like, oh, there's a little blip on the echo here near Chippewa Falls. Like, what? So in and out of watching the Brewers game, I did get to see the good part. I saw the, well, let me back up. I saw the bad part. Brewers were up 4-1 in the sixth.
Yeah.
And then Robert Gasser ran out of gas. And the Marlins went up 5-4. But then Christian Yelich, in the eighth inning, go-ahead two-run triple.
Yep.
And your first place Milwaukee Brewers beat the Miami Marlins last night by a score of 7-5. William Contreras, two hits and three ribbies. Willie Adames doubled twice, snapping that batting slump he was in when he was 1-for-17.
Yeah.
So let's hope that's the start of some good things for him.
Just need to get that pitching in order. That's what we need to do.
Oh, I know.
The bats can't do it forever.
No. Gasser making only his third major league start, allowed 5 runs, 4 of them earned on 10 hits through those 6 innings of work. But again, he still shows tremendous potential, but they're young. They're just mm-hmm. so young. So we're going along for the ride. And again, we're in first place.
Yeah.
We're not complaining.
It feels like the Packers where they were like, they're so young, they'll be nothing. See in a couple of years. We're like, ooh, we were wrong.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, but it also means you're going to get some games like the one the night before. So you just gotta go along with it. So the Brewers wrap things up in Miami this evening. The game starts at 5:40, so you can catch the pregame starting at 5:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. And then the Brewers are off tomorrow as they head to Boston for 3 games there, Friday evening and then Saturday and Sunday afternoon. They're back home starting Memorial Day to open a 7-game Chicago-themed homestand, 4 against the Cubs, then 3 against the White Sox. We'll unpack the news and talk about Trump going chicken when it comes to taking the witness stand coming up next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bernie Taupin turns 74 years old today.
Don't wish it away. Don't look at it like it's forever.
Bernie Taupin and Elton John had a partnership that went way back. We'll tell the full story in today's history lesson about 30 minutes from now. But that song and many others, many of the beautiful lyrics that touched a lot of people over the years. We'll talk more about Bernie Taupin and Elton John coming up in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, where it is now 6:21. I'm still getting recombobulated here. Tip of the cap to Dan Schaefer. Do we have to give Dan Schaefer like a commission every time we use some variation of recombobulation or discombobulated?
No. I'm just going to do that. Okay. It's a tip of the hat with a hearty. There we go.
One for Dan Schaefer. I'm getting recombobulated because there's two things computer-wise that we have talked about repeatedly as they affect us. One is Google signing us out, you know, while we're in the middle of something and suddenly your show notes and everything just all disappear because you have to find your password and log back in again. But then the other is on Apple. When your iMac in this case decides it needs a new OS. And so overnight you get the whole new operating system update, and you know, then you have to go through and open up your tab or open up your browser again and restore everything that was open. It's like, do you really want to restore these 18 tabs? Yes. Yes, I do. Please open up the 18 tabs. I will read them eventually. Just get them open, please.
You just get one saying, yo, man, this are 58 tabs here and
I think you need help. Yes.
You ain't making sourdough anymore.
Right. So we have to, we're getting back on track for, yeah, for that one. I have heard the conversation, a little bit of the conversation that you were having with Jane yesterday on Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 10 to noon across many stations of the Civic Media Network. And I just loved the emotion that came over Jane in getting to this particular subject. And you talk about a lot of things every day, so you don't know exactly where I'm going with this.
No idea.
I'm gonna use a naughty word, and then I want you to just add to the conversation. I love the part of the conversation that was basically when Jane got on a theme of Twitter sucks and just what has happened to Twitter, yeah, since Elon Musk took over. And yet, while we still kind of have to use it, but what a dumpster fire it's become.
Well, and that's the thing is we, you know, every day on the show, and you do it, and a lot of other people on the Civic Media Radio Network do it, and we say, like, follow us on social media, watch the live stream on X and all the things. And she was going through all that, and we had something to talk about, and I don't like to derail Jane on, like, a tangent, but it just, like, man, Twitter just sucks now. Like,
it just does. See, here's the thing. For folks who don't use it, and God bless you.
And not, stay away.
The reason that a lot of people who are either working in news or politics or are just news junkies or political junkies is when it worked at its best, think of it as the old, you know, the AP news ticker, the old teletype. You would get this constant stream of information that you could tailor so that you were seeing things from news sources and political sources. And, you know, there's a lot of funny stuff on there, too. There was, mm-hmm, so entertainment. You could tailor it.
Yeah.
And it would get this, you'd get this nice stream of information that was useful. And Elon Musk spent, was it $44 billion?
Yes.
First off, how anybody has $44 billion, but that's another topic. But is able to take it, turn it into his own personal toy box, fire most of the people who were handling quality control, and allow the Nazis back on.
Yeah,
and I'm not kidding. Yeah. Like literal Nazis, misogynists, all kinds of, you know, Russia based bots, you know, and other trolls, and so some folks left Twitter entirely and went to Threads, which is run by Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, Meta, all of that. And it's okay, but it's still nothing like what Twitter was at its best. So it's like a minor league version of Twitter. Twitter, which is now X, is now a minor league version of Twitter. And so we're all still kind of looking for that good information source, dependable information source. Not being able to see that, we have to bounce between all these other things. And it's just, you know, I like that Jane and you and I could just get that out, get that off our chest, that it used to be so good.
And yeah.
It's just so awful. And yet we're stuck because there's nothing better.
Yeah. I just one day I'm looking at all these great, funny people and looking at news stories. And like within a week, I got people I don't ever want to follow on my timeline saying horrible things. And you know, the suckiest part is that Elon never masked what he was going to do with Twitter. He made it very clear that it was a pet project that a little rich boy who is the son of apartheid millionaires was going to make it cool again. And we knew where that was going. And mm-hmm. they still and these people who own the company who took great pains to block people who misinformation, as you were saying, Nazis, racists, all these people. Mm-hmm. They were just like, yeah, well, you know, just to make sure the check clears.
Yeah. And they said, here you go. Here are the keys.
Yep.
And exactly. So that's what we're dealing with, especially when you're following something like the Trump trial,
yeah,
which where I'm going to turn to next, where Trump, again, always talks big at the bar, but completely chickens out of testifying. So I want to talk this gag order. Oh, I if only I could have my say in front of the jury. And then you get there and he becomes like Barney Fife and just gets all puckered up like, oh, no, can't do that. And once again, many folks in the national media are just kind of letting it go like, and Trump decided not to testify. All I'm asking you is to consider this. If it were former President Barack Obama on trial, and he decided not to testify, would it be a bigger headline? Oh, hell yeah. would it ever, like, he's not testifying. What does he have to hide? What's going on? Dan Frumkin puts it this way in his Press Watchers newsletter. The jury shouldn't hold it against the defendant if they choose not to testify. When a bloviator like Trump is afraid to take the stand, the verdict from the court of opinion should be blistering, as it would be, say, for Hillary if she said she wasn't going to testify, but she did testify in front of Congress about Benghazi for 11 hours. Just keep that in mind when you're going, yeah. And Trump wouldn't take the stand. Trump did, of course, go to the microphones afterwards to again rip on the judge. And this time, now that it appears the judge will not throw him in jail for almost anything, Trump just went full on racist. Give a listen to this clip.
Loathes him. Oh, I'm so surprised. And so does Mershon. Loathes me. The judge hates Donald Trump. Just take a look. Take a look at him. Take a look at where he comes from.
Take a look at where he comes from. Take a look at where he comes from. He comes from Colombia, if I'm not mistaken. And because he doesn't look like Trump, he comes from one of those, you know, blank hole countries that Trump likes to talk about. We just get him going, look at him, you can tell. And there were still people in national media today, this morning, who were making excuses. And we're like, oh, well, you know, he's not saying Colombia. He might have meant the Bronx, you know, or wherever he lives now. Stop it.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And not the Bronx, Queens. He was born in Colombia, raised in Queens.
Yeah.
But, you know, just look at him. Of course, he's against me. At least he's not hiding the racism anymore. The Midwest Farm Report is next. Then Melissa Baldoff with our climate check next. You're up north. And welcome back to our climate check segment that we do every week with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing great. And the reason for the short introduction is we're just going to jump right into this because Melissa has all sorts of, I would say, oodles of political experience. I've got a little bit myself. And we're really going to be talking climate politics today about an issue that, look, I think you're a savvy listener. I think you know what we're going to talk about. But unfortunately, there's still a whole lot of people that haven't heard about this yet. And that, of course, would be the former president of the United States soliciting a $1 billion bribe from oil company executives during a recent speaking engagement. Melissa, you want to set it up, either, you know, how you heard about it, what you know about it, and then we'll get into all the details.
Yeah, you know, he met with, you know, oil and gas executives down at Mar-a-Lago, and he's, you know, looking to get some big money from them, $1 billion to go towards his campaign. And he's willing to give them and promise them basically the world, is what the reports are from this, closed meeting that he had with them earlier in the month, you know, according to reporting from The Guardian, Washington Post and others, you know, not as much reporting as we would like to see about this, because, you know, for somebody who's facing nearly 100 criminal counts, in multiple prosecutions, certainly sounds criminal. And if it's not, it should be. He's telling them, I want $1 billion from you. I'll give you $100 billion more. I'll give you whatever you want, basically. You know, he's telling them he's going to basically undo everything President Biden has accomplished. When it comes to climate, he will eliminate barriers on drilling, lift moratorium on gas exports, overturn regulations, roll back, progress on electric vehicles. He'll basically give them whatever they want if they'll give him what he wants, which is to put him in the White House again.
It is just an amazing, quid pro quo. It's just right out there. You give me $1 billion, I'll give you more than $100 billion in tax relief, in tax savings. And again, because he is, a man of his age, and of his political affiliation, in his, to him and to others in his political ilk, drill baby drill is just part of that extraction economy. They have absolutely no reason in their mind to try to leave the world in a better place where they found it. It's, I'm going to get whatever I can for me and for my interests and your interests as a fossil fuel company. And while that, certainly rubs some people the wrong way, I don't doubt that if he got elected with or without the $1 billion, this is the direction he wants to go in.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is who he is. When Trump was first in office, his 2017 tax cuts, were of great benefit to oil and gas companies. And those, some of those cuts are set to expire next year. So we know that those companies and their lobbyists are very engaged and wanting to extend those cuts. So of course they want to see not only, more tax relief for their industry, for their, their bigwigs, their executives. They want to see policy changes. They don't like what President Biden has done in terms of, recommitting to the Paris Climate Accord, making that pledge to cut greenhouse gas emissions, canceling oil and gas leases, taking the stance that we are going to really make that transition to, a clean energy economy and not be so reliant on fossil fuels, that we're going to, make our homes more energy efficient. We're going to provide tax credits to purchase EVs. He wants that, that gradual transition away from fossil fuels, and the people making money off of fossil fuels want to cling to it. And it is in Donald Trump's best interest to, give those guys what they want.
So let's bring this to the Wisconsin level here. And I've got two specific examples right off the top of my head. I mean, three, if you count Ron Johnson saying that, sunspots cause climate change, but I'm just setting that aside. At last weekend's Republican state convention, we'll get to Derek Van Orden in a moment, but Tom Tiffany, in his remarks to the delegates, specifically singled out Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. And again, said that this is going to, exacerbate an energy shortage in the United States. And like so many other fact-challenged assertions about, energy policy and climate, the Keystone pipeline was not going to benefit American consumers and directly. That's not how the pipeline was ever going to work.
Right. But, like you said, these are, fact-challenged individuals. I really like that phrase, they care more about having a talking point that they feel is a good line of attack on Joe Biden, on their opponents, than they care about what's good for their constituents and what is good for the people of Wisconsin, for our economy, and what's good for our environment, obviously. They are not concerned with what is going to be best for folks in rural Wisconsin, for our main streets, for our communities. They are concerned with what is going to be beneficial to the people that are keeping them in office, which is their donors, and the people that are keeping their colleagues in office that are making these decisions. They are not concerned with what is going on in communities around Wisconsin.
And specific to the Keystone Pipeline, it was going to take Canadian tar sands, and that's what was going to be going down the pipeline all the way to the Gulf Coast, where refineries there were most likely going to then export that product. You know, Tom Tiffany and others are making it sound like, well, it, you know, as it flows through the Midwest, everybody can just kind of come up and gas their car. It doesn't work that way. It reminds me of the Enbridge Line 5 one cutting through northern Wisconsin, which again starts in Canada, ends in Canada. There is no terminus in the United States. It just cuts through along the way. And yet people are fighting for that again as if it has some kind of, you know, energy consequences for us. And it simply doesn't. They're almost literally making things up to try to make a point on these things, Melissa.
Right. This is not about, you know, bolstering our made in America economy, right? This is about giveaways, I think, pure and simple. There is not going to be a significant benefit. And in fact, there will be, you know, potentially significant harm to our communities because of the environmental harm to our communities from these kinds of projects. So, you know, you've got people who are dealing in falsehoods, you know, whether it's very intentionally or whether they're dupes or it's a little bit of both, right? And with some of these guys, you never know. I could go either way on some of our Wisconsin delegation on whether they're too dumb to know or they just don't care. And I usually think it's a little bit of both.
It just seems like they just don't care. So my other example was from Derek Van Orden, who spoke to the Republican State Convention as well. And, you know, his quote, I don't have exact here, but it was essentially saying that when a seed goes in the ground, to get the seed, to put the seed in, to harvest the crops, to process the crops, and get it to market, all of that is done with diesel fuel. And my immediate thought was, well, yeah, it was once done with a horse and a plow, you know, is that what you're saying? Is technology never changes? There are never advancements, but it was essentially such a genuflection to the altar of fossil fuels of a congressman on the House Agriculture Committee saying that he would do nothing. And instead, like Trump, favor rolling back all of the investments that were going to be made in rural energy efficiency and in, you know, making sure that, you know, your next generation of farms was not only going to have, you know, cleaner fuels, but was also going to be a place to, you know, develop these things, build the solar panels, build the wind turbine blades and things like that. These are all things Derek Van Orden says, well, we can't do because we use diesel now. So we're always gonna.
Right. Yeah. I think that, it would certainly be news to a lot of folks in our agriculture sector and our rural communities that everything relating to agriculture has always relied on diesel. And I think it would be very offensive to a lot of folks to suggest that our farmers and our producers and people in the agriculture industry aren't and can't be innovators because they always have been. And I think that's why it's so great that we are seeing them be a part of this clean energy transition and be a part of the new technology and, you know, finding new ways to operate that are good for our environment and good for their bottom line. So I think that it's, you know, obviously incredibly, you know, misinformed, but I think it's also very offensive to folks that there's only one way to operate in one way to do business because they've always been innovators and find it and have found new ways to do business.
So then that leads us finally back to where we started, and that was the political aspect of it. And look, there are many things that a voter keeps in mind when making their decision, a lot of it affecting them personally and their pocketbook. And goodness knows Trump has enough scandal and, you know, criminal conduct around him. But do you think that the notion of him asking oil companies for $1 billion and that he in return would do all of these things that we just outlined, do you think that has some sticking power with some American voters?
I do. And, you know, there was in the Hill this morning, there was a story, there was some some polling by Data for Progress and Climate Power that said just about two-thirds of likely voters told pollsters they would reconsider their vote for a politician who had, you know, made an offer of a quid pro quo.
It's always been transactional with this guy. Is, you know, you give me money and I will give you something. And quite often, you know, Trump doesn't hold up his end of the deal, as we learned during the trial. When he's the one that has to put up, you know, the money, he quite often is the one that's going to say, no, why don't you sue me? But he's got no problem asking other people for money, because what he can give them, of course, is power. He can give them access, so long as the voters allow that to happen. And it really is incumbent upon the voters to say, you know, even if I agree with this guy on a few things, is this really what we want? Because Melissa, if he gets back in, I mean, this particular dinner speech soliciting the $1 billion, not going to be the last one, is it?
No, it's certainly not. And, you know, I think it's just incredibly important that, you know, that voters continue to hear about this and to give this the attention it deserves. Make it more than just a one-day story. You know, the media paid a whole heck of a lot of attention to Vice President Harris using an expletive. You know, we saw, you know, this breathless coverage of the vice president using an expletive. So I just want to see, you know, more members of the media treat things like this. You know, we have ample evidence that when Donald Trump shows us who he is, we have to believe him because he's proven it to us. This isn't like 2016 when it was theoretical. We have the proof that he will do what he says he will do and worse. So they've got to really treat it seriously and make sure everybody knows about it.
That's exactly right. Melissa Baldoff, thanks for a little political deeper dive into this week's Climate Check. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
The Rolling Stones kick off today's history lesson. Coming up next, you're up north. Welcome to our history lesson for this Wednesday morning, May 22nd. The number one album on this day in 1971 was by a little group called the Rolling Stones. Sticky Fingers was the album, and Brown Sugar was the single there that helped the album get to number one. On this day, oh my gosh, 53 years ago. Melissa Kay is here from locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, and that FM station that I keep forgetting about as well, that plays music and things. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, good, although I'm seeing a wall behind you and not landscaping or anything, so storm damage-wise, you're okay?
Yep, nope. I didn't actually like walk around the block this morning, but as far as I know, we did okay.
Okay. Good.
The sirens went off, but you know, we just looked out the window.
Mm-hmm. No, like I said, we had a couple of trees down in the backyard, but I did see the National Weather Service office in Green Bay reported a tornado near Unity over by the Clark Marathon County line. And
a lot of damage in Unity today.
Yeah, and there was a whole lot in Iowa, and sadly fatalities as well. So we just wanted everybody to be careful. I wanted to see how things were by you. Glad things are okay so far.
Yeah, we have power.
Our short and sassy friend, and I don't mean that you're short. I mean, we've got a new haircut that's kind of short and sassy over there.
It is, and it's shorter in the back.
Oh,
ooh, it's okay. A bob.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what it's called, but
yeah,
I got the curly girl special.
The curly girl special. I like
that. Oh, that's the name of your show, the curly girl special.
Let's see. We had the number one album from 1971. Let's go back to 1961. The number one hit that day was Ernie Cato's Mother-in-Law.
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 This is one of those things, and again, keep in mind, it was 1961, so all the stereotypes were there. You know, whatever show you watched, whatever the songs, the mother-in-law was right up there with, you know, the wicked stepmother, you know, from all the fairy tales. And we all know That's not, I mean, I have an awesome stepmom, and I have an awesome mother-in-law. So, Ernie, the song wasn't for me, but clearly it, it struck a chord with somebody.
It resonated somehow.
Nobody's jumping in to defend mothers-in-law.
I have made it very clear on numerous occasions. I have an amazing mom. I have an amazing mother-in-law, and they're really close friends.
That's awesome.
And I have great in-laws.
That's good. I have none of those things right now, so I can't comment.
All right, well then we'll,
they're all we'll just, horrible.
Yes.
No, they don't exist.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha. Singer Johnny Gill is 58 years old today. I mentioned Bernie Taupin's birthday. He turned 74 today. He answered an ad in a British music paper in 1967 by a record company seeking new songwriters. Bernie Taupin and Elton John both responded to the same ads. They were brought together. The rest is history. The two of them were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1992. And so we'll hear more throughout the morning of Elton John, but with lyrics by Bernie Taupin. On this day in 1965, the Beatles hit number one for the eighth time with this song. Ticket to Ride is, so many Beatles songs have been covered, obviously. And some of the covers, you know, like Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, doing Got to Get You Into My Life, you know, that's a great one. I like the Carpenters. We established yesterday what a soft rock guy I am. But the Carpenters remake of Ticket to Ride has to be one of the worst remakes ever made. It's stick with the Beatles on this one, kids.
Is it worse than their space song?
Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. I would say they're on par. Let's put it that way. Let's put it that way.
This is so. Welcome to Interplanetary Crafts. What are you crafting today?
On this day in 1906, the Wright brothers were granted U.S. patent number 821393 for their quote flying machine. Trevi Fountain was officially completed and inaugurated in Rome on this day in 1762. I did a whirlwind trip through Rome. We were doing a cruise, and it's like, okay, get on the bus. We're going to go around Rome. So I can't even say that I saw it or not. I don't know if either of you have been there
or not.
Never
been to Rome.
I've never been to Italy.
It was really nice for the okay, but you get murdered. They get you in the cattle car, and it's like, here's the Colosseum, here's this. Okay, back on the boat. There's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Go.
Excuse me. Yes, and please.
Right. Let's see. The number one song this day in 1976 was by Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oops, sorry, wrong song.
Oh my God! Would you stop?
I'm not kidding. It wasn't that song, one. Folks.
It was this Paul McCartney song.
Listen to that bass.
That guy plays bass pretty good for a left hand. You know?
Whoa.
I know anything musically about how you play a bass. I just happen to know he's left-handed.
You pluck it.
The Lewis and Clark expedition officially began on this day in 1804 as the group departed St. Charles, Missouri. And the penal transportation of British convicts to Australia was abolished this day in 1840 after 60 years. Since that time, they were sent away to, and then insert your own punchline here. I'm not looking to get in trouble with anybody today, so I'm not going to go there. Melissa, what's new at locally grown radio these days?
Oh boy. Well, you know, the new things that are happening I can't talk about
Well,
yet.
Thanks, Melissa. Great talking to you.
We're back to that. We're teasing the big thing that you can't tell us about yet. The big
Greg
thing.
Greg said that I should name my show the Curly Girl Special. I've submitted names. I haven't got any response yet. So
is that saying you're getting your own show? Is that what you're telling us?
What? No, I didn't say that. What?
Oh my goodness. What are you doing for Memorial Day weekend?
Relaxing.
Nice.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yes, I like that plan very much.
We do have some great guests coming up this week on our Midday Magazine. Lance Plimmel is going to be in from Wood County. And then we always love having in our Family Natural Foods family Katrina Hittner and her brother come in and give us updates on what's going on at Family Natural Foods.
Awesome.
Great story. You should check it out.
All right.
It's where I get my hair dye.
Oh, okay. There we go. And where will you do most of your relaxing at home? Is it like on a lawn chair, recliner? Do you have a hammock? What's...
You know, I got a really nice $16 chair that I bought at Goodwill.
I got it at the $16 store.
Yeah, $16.
It was a great find for $16, man.
Oh,
and then I do have a rocking lawn chair that I enjoy sitting in.
You're worth all 16 of them. Melissa, thank you very much. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio. Still ahead, live from Chippewa Falls. You're